Yo, Bruce Sophia here. Love for you to follow me on Twitter at Bruce Sophia as we look at contemporary life issues from God's perspective.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
I might mention that the sermon this morning is really loaded with a number of points, sort of a wealth of information in this little sermon. And you're not going to remember all of it unless you take notes, and then you'll have to review them. But that's okay, because what you take home with you this morning is going to be exactly what God has for you.
Today on Change by the Word, we continue our study in the book of Genesis in chapters 18 and 19. God's choice was perfect, that Abram was a man full of character. No wonder Abram is the father of all nations.
Yes, he was certainly favored of God. And we go back to chapter 18 again. We remember we said he ran to the Lord and bowed down. Cheryl and I, we talk about this all the time, and I don't want to be fuddy-duddy and let my age mark my etiquette. Mm. But we were watching a movie last night. The day was over. We had finished Hope Rises. It was a marvelous weekend. Saw thousands of people come through our doors, and we haven't tallied our number of FTDs, but we've got to be close to 100 or more. It was a pretty exciting weekend. Mm. And we had celebrated my sister's 70th birthday.
Yeah, Sandy.
What a gift my sister has been to so many people, including this church.
My mom, she's a wonderful woman.
Yeah, I mean, she's taught Sunday school from day one.
Yeah, from day one.
My wife and Sandy directed our Sunday school program for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But my sister still teaches, and she's one of the best.
Yeah.
At 70 years, like your mom.
Look, well, my mom swears by the old flannel board, you know, because that's the way she teaches. And I can tell you, most of the stuff you can't find anymore, but the stuff that was updated came from your sister.
Yeah. Well, my sister's just, and there's not a student that's in her class that doesn't want to come back.
That's right.
Whatever she does today, I don't know. I haven't been in her class, but her billboards are the best.
Yep.
When she puts up a bulletin board, it's the best. My sister spends hours preparing lessons for those kids in Sunday school. But anyway, it was her 70th birthday, and we had gone over to the house, and we were all done the day. We got home, and it was late. It was probably about 8, when I say late, 8 or 8:30 to kick on a movie, because my wife kind of goes out before me. But we watched a movie about a spy. Hmm. And eventually, this guy marries a spy. It was pretty fascinating. It was called Allied. Cheryl didn't like the ending, and I said, I thought the ending was pretty cool. You know, they could have all died, and only the spy died.
Yeah.
But in the midst of it, we're looking, and this is in the 40s. All the men had ties and jackets. All the women were dressed to the hilt. When you went out, you dressed up. There was a certain etiquette.
Right.
Today, the etiquette is to not be dressed. And it's just the culture.
Yep.
Jesus was etiquette according to his culture. I mean, whatever he wore was worth a lot of money because they gambled for it.
That's right.
So we spend a little bit of time here, and I talk about etiquette. Just things that are lost in our culture. It's proper to walk company to the door.
That's right.
When they leave the house. It's proper for men to pick up their date at the door, not sit in the driveway or blow the horn.
That's right.
It's proper to open and close the door as well. Ladies, let the men be gentlemen.
Yeah.
Really.
Because we want to be.
Yes. And Abraham's position, He's favored, but he shows etiquette through all of this. Yeah. And that's what brought it up. Think about this. He greets the men. He bows before the Lord. He takes them to his house, and he feeds them.
It ain't just anything.
No, the best.
The best of the best.
Listen, you're my guest. And it's hot in the day. They're not going to go out and work. Now, I don't know how in the world they prepare this meal fresh. They had to be 3 to 4 hours, right?
Yeah,
they had to go slay the fatted calf or whatever it was they did at this time. They drained the blood out of it.
Yeah.
They had to cook it, prepare the bread and everything else. That's got to be a couple hours, right?
Yeah, the bread would take some time. It would take a little time. The meat would cook quickly.
Okay.
But, yeah, you're still looking at hours. You're right.
Yeah, an hour, 2 hours at least.
Oh, I think 2 to 3 hours, easy, in the heat of the day.
And he's the best of guests. You know, look at Ezekiel. He says, suppose there's a righteous man who does what is just and right. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of the house of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or lie with a woman during her period. He does not oppose anyone, but returns what he took in a pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery. He gives his food to the hungry. He provides clothing for the naked. He does not lend at usury or take excessive interest, because they weren't allowed to lend with interest to their same.
Right.
They could to foreigners. Mm-hmm. So if you were an Israelite or brother or sister, you couldn't lend with usury. He withholds his hands from doing wrong. He judges fairly between the man and the woman. He follows my decrees, faithfully keep my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares. That's all etiquette.
Yeah, character.
Yep. Yeah.
And good morals in there as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, he's not shifting blame. He's not making excuses for not doing what he's supposed to do. And Abraham displays etiquette here to God and the angels that are with him. So then we move to chapter 19. So let's read a couple. Look at what Abram says. If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. He knew it was the Lord saying.
Yeah, he knew.
Let a little water be brought.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Taking him to the air-conditioned room.
Yeah. Where it was probably 110, 115.
Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they said, do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah quick, he said. Get 3 seahs of fine flour and so forth. Then he ran to the herd. Abraham ran to the herd. Selected a choice. Now, he had many servants, but he was picking this one.
That's right.
You know, a choice tender calf, and give it to your servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk, and the calf was prepared, and they set these before them while they ate. He stood near under a tree. He didn't even eat with them.
That's right.
But, and then that they said, where's your wife, Sarah? And then we move into the story. But it's just fascinating that he knew how to treat his guests right.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
I might mention that the sermon this morning is really loaded with a number of points. Sort of a wealth of information in this little sermon. And you're not going to remember all of it unless you take notes, and then you'll have to review them. But that's okay. Because what you take home with you this morning is going to be exactly what God has for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. It is, in an ever-changing world, an absolute and never-changing truth. It is our light. It is our guide. It is our roadmap to success and abundant life. And I pray that this morning you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the principles from thy word that you want us to place within inside of our own lives. And Lord, anoint these feeble lips, that they might not say more than they should, nor less than they should, but that they might speak what you would have them to speak. For I ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, chapter 18, it's been a week since we've been in Genesis, but chapter 18 marked the sixth time that the Lord has spoken with Abraham. And he came to announce that this time next year, Abraham and Sarah would have a son. And that's what he came to announce. But he leaves not only sharing that information, but he leaves telling them something else as well. And that's where we pick up in chapter 18, verse 16. So let's take our Bibles, and why don't we stand as we read these four verses, so that you won't be sitting for the next 1 hour and 20 minutes. See, no one can say that their pastor is long-winded. 30 to 35 minutes. Now, how would you like to have to sit under Gene Huber every week for 40? You would love it, wouldn't you? 40 minutes. 50 sometimes. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. And when the men got up to leave, meaning the angels and the Lord, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? I came with a purpose, but I'm going to tell him my other purpose. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. You may be seated. Now, there are three things I'd like us to note in these four verses. The first is found in verse 16, and it's Abraham's etiquette. So right next to that verse in your margin, put etiquette. E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. Abraham's etiquette. Adultery. Number four, lie with a woman during her period. Now that's disobedience against the law. God instituted that, and there's reasons, and I won't go into that, but it has to do with the blood, and the blood is sacred. And the blood belongs to God. The Israelites weren't allowed to drink blood either. They had to have their meat had to be kosher and had to be prepared differently. But there it is. And he does not oppress anyone, number five. But he returns what he took in a pledge for a loan. He's conscientious and he's honest. And I might mention something here, that this is really an ingredient that's lacking from our society today. Notice that says that he does not oppress anyone. And it links the oppression with paying back your debts. And our land is oppressed with our credit system, where we buy things that we don't have money for that we don't need. And the land is oppressed because everything has to be elevated in its price so that it can cover the cost of the charging, the cost of sending out the mail, the cost of delayed time and interest rates, and all of those things. And we do live in an oppressed society, and that's why our economy is oppressed. One reason is because we have not followed scriptural principles of financing. And that's what it says, that it oppresses the land. Now, he does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. So seven is he does not commit robbery. Eight, gives his food to the hungry. Nine, and provides clothing for the naked. What is this? It's loving your neighbor as yourself, isn't it? It's sharing. It's not being selfish. He does not lend at usury or take excessive interest. The Jew was not allowed to lend to the Jew with interest. He was allowed to lend to an alien. If you want to borrow money off of me, you're my own family. I'd have to lend you money interest-free, so don't come to me because I'm not going to do it. But if a stranger comes out, I'll gladly lend them a loan for 23.5%. I tell you, get with it this morning. Let's go. You get it. Here it is. They weren't allowed to lend to their own with interest. That's a sign of a righteous and just man. Why? What is that saying? It's saying that you want the welfare of your brother to be the same as the welfare of yourself. You're as much concerned for him as you are for yourself. Again, it's loving your neighbor as yourself. He withholds his hand from doing wrong, number 12. And number 13, he judges fairly between man and man. He's fair between man and man. Justice and righteousness. And notice lastly that he follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign God. Fearing God, the reward is life. Sin brings death. Obedience brings life. So there are two things in these four verses that are not here, but are here. And they're not here in the sense that they're not in the chapter, but they're here in the sense that they're in the book. And one is just this, what constitutes a just and right man? And that's what Abraham was, and that's why God favored him, and that's why God selected him. I guess so. That's quite a noble list of elements in your character, is it not? Those 16. Now the other thing is that God gave Sodom and Gomorrah a warning. You say, but Pastor Bruce, that's not in the text. It doesn't say God gave Sodom and Gomorrah a warning. I know it doesn't. But like I said, there are two things in these four verses that are not in the text, but they're in the book. And I'd like to support my opinion on this. So turn with me to Isaiah 42:9. Excuse me. But when the fan blows on you, it has a way of closing up your throat. Singers find that out very quickly. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Notice what the Lord says. He says, see, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. And before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Before they happen, I tell you. Now, while we're in that book, go to Isaiah 46, verse 10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand. I believe God gave Sodom and Gomorrah ample warning of their destruction. And I'd like to illustrate that. Before the flood, Enoch, who walked with God and was not because God took him. And by the way, he began to walk with God when he had his first child, Methuselah. It's amazing how many parents begin to walk with God after God gives them a child. But anyway, Enoch preached repentance for 365 years. And then there was Noah, who preached judgment for 120 years before God destroyed the earth. And then there was Cain. And God came to Cain and said, Cain, sin is lurking at your door and it would master you, but don't let it. But Cain let it. And what happened? He slew his brother. But God gave him warning. And what about Nineveh, who God sent Jonah? And Jonah didn't want to go. And you know the story. He was swallowed by a whale and spit out on the sea. But God made him go anyway. And he preached and they did repent. Spared 100 years. It's a century, isn't it? Is that right? See if I remember my sociology. But there it was. But God warned Nineveh. And then what about Melchizedek, who was the priest of Salem, right across from Sodom and Gomorrah? And what about Abraham, was just beyond the plains, over there in Mamre? And what about Lot himself, who sat in the city? Do you not think that that city had ample warning? I do. I believe God warned those cities of the plain. And then we notice that God, in verse 20 and verse 21, back in Genesis chapter 18. I told you we'd be moving today, so hang in there. Genesis 18, verse 20 and 21. God checks out Sodom with an angelic commission. God doesn't go himself. sends the two angels in. And I might mention to you that next to verse 20 and verse 21, why don't you write Ezekiel 16:49? Because it tells us what Sodom's sin was. Homosexuality and sodomy was just the cap of it all. It was the final abomination. There are many other sins in Sodom for why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And you may want to look that up when you get home. But now I've always found this unique, verse 20 and 21. And the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, then I will know. Now that's always intrigued me. The same thing with the Tower of Babel. God says, I'm going to go down and check it out. Now God knows all and God sees all. Does He not? It's one of the mysteries of the Word of God to me. And one of the first things I'm going to do when I get to heaven, at least I think I'm going to do, probably when I get there, I'm just going to enjoy His presence, is I'm going to ask Him, Lord, how come you had to go down and check this out when you could have seen it and known it? I don't quite, can't quite put that together, but it's one of the mysteries of God, and there it is. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves when we approach the Word of God, and I try and be honest with you as well. So here's what we have. We have Abraham's plea for Sodom. We see his etiquette, we see his position, we see that he's favored, and we see that Sodom has ample warning. Now, we're going to move to chapter 19 and look at Lot for a few minutes, then we're going to conclude with Abraham's prayer. Chapter 19. I want us to look at the first verse. It says that the angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. The angels arrive in the evening, and there's Lot sitting right in the gateway of the city. Now turn back to chapter 13, and let's look at verse 10. It says, Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like Eden, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with brimstone from heaven. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east, and the two men parted company. And Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now go to chapter 14, verse 12. And they also carried off Abraham's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. And now in chapter 19... of Genesis, he's in the gate of Sodom. I want you to notice the movement here. He saw with his eyes and he desired first. Then he's near it, gets close to it. I hope you're drawing the parallel with sin in our own lives. We see it, we long for it, then we get a little closer to it, and then all of a sudden we're in it. He's in Sodom, and right now, he is one of the chief executors of the city. It was the city chiefs who sat in the gate. He's in the gate. Now he's a part of it all. By the way, he's a part of it all, and yet he remains righteous. It says something about him. Had some character, Lot did, to remain righteous in the midst of all of that.
Are you struggling to read your Bible? Are you looking for some really cool inspiration? Well, we would love to share with you a resource that will help you with your daily Bible reading. It's our gift when you call 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. And this resource is called the Word for You Today Daily Devotional. Changed by the Word is a listener-supported ministry. That means your prayers and financial support enable us to share the gospel all around the world. And that only happens with the heart of giving by our Change by the Word partners. Now, if you've been blessed by Change by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and nations, prayerfully consider joining with us. Join us tomorrow right here at Change by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Change by.